Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would surround us tonight and continue to with your love, your spirit, and your wisdom. As we look at your word, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would infuse it with the joy that only comes from you. We ask simply, Father, for what we need from you. And you know that better than we do. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's saints agreed and said, amen. Amen. Well, as Pastor Kevin mentioned, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, if you would. It's an honor to be here with you guys tonight. Luann sends her love and her regrets. Her and the boys are on their way to Stettler, even as we speak, for some Christmas celebration with our Dipros family this weekend. So we're excited about that. I'm going to join them tomorrow, but it is an honor to be with you guys tonight. I said a few times to folks as I came in the doors tonight, this feels like home for Luann and I, and we don't take that lightly. We are very grateful and honored to come as often as we do. You know the relationship we have with Kevin and Kathy and how much we love them, and I know how much you guys love them, but to be able to do this with them and with you guys is indeed a privilege. But we're going to dive right in tonight. I am excited. I normally am. Most pastors are. But this last couple of weeks, working with the Lord and hearing from Him and preparing for tonight has been extraordinary. And I trust that you'll have that in your heart as well as we look at God's Word. We're just going to start at Mark chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses here, and then we're going to key in on verses 14 and 15 tonight. So if you follow along in your Bibles, read from the New International Version, but if you have something a little different, it'll be very close as well. Let's follow along together. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. He's talking about John the Baptist here. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Wouldn't that be amazing? Verse 6, John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. Who is he talking about? Everybody? Jesus. I baptize you, John says, with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, God the Father speaking into that moment, saying, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. And these are the key verses that we're going to look at tonight. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. From our passage in Mark tonight, four words that we gloss over very quickly. And I will tell you as a pastor, I've glossed over these words. I've used them many times in sermons, and they have jumped out at me this year, especially in the past few weeks. The kingdom of God. Four words that know no bounds. Jesus said, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. This was the message of Jesus. In today's day and age, the message of Jesus is told by a lot of different churches, a lot of different pastors, and there is so much truth from Scripture, but there is a lot of misunderstandings as well. There's a lot of misgivings that people have about Jesus and the kingdom of God. But Jesus was teaching what life in the kingdom looks like. He was teaching what it means to live as a servant of the king, who the king is, and how we enter the kingdom of God. Is there anything that you can think of in your life that is more important than this? I trust that there's not. Even the miracles that Jesus performs all through the Gospels are meant to be examples of what life is like in the kingdom of God, wholeness and healing and fullness of life. And all of this is illustrating the central point of Jesus' preaching: the kingdom of God has come near. So tonight, we want to simply ask and reflect upon the following question: what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Those of you who have been Christians for any length of time probably at least could give some definition. You'd feel somewhat comfortable talking a little bit about what you understand the kingdom of God to be. But the more you think about it, the more you can reflect upon just those four words, there is so much more. You see, biblical scholars, theologians, pastors often devote their entire lifetimes to focusing on that one theme, trying to understand what it looks like. We're not going to have all the answers tonight. We're going to reflect. We're going to go big picture tonight instead of specifics. We're going to go big picture, and hopefully by the time that you leave the doors tonight, you'll have some more wonder, some more hope, and some more communication with God about what the kingdom of God is and what your part is in it. But in the first century, kingdoms looked a lot different than they do now. And this is one of the reasons we struggle with Jesus' terminology, the kingdom of God. What does that look like? Many of us aren't old enough. I don't think there's a person in this room that's old enough to remember the King of England personally, right? But we have a queen, technically. Does she rule us? No. Does Stephen Harper rule us? Perhaps. Does your wife rule you? Never mind. Don't answer that question. I have Luman's permission to share this, just so you know. There were kings back then in Jesus' day. There were emperors. Caesar himself had control over an entire empire, didn't he? There were kings who controlled various regions, reported to the emperor, and had Jesus lived in another part of the Roman Empire, he might have used terms like emperor instead of king, instead of kingdom. And the king, as understood by the people of Israel, the king was the highest authority. We can understand that. Let's go a little bit deeper. The king ruled completely over his kingdom. He was responsible for everything within the boundaries of that kingdom. He was responsible for the safety and protection of his citizens. But in return, he was able to ask anything that he wanted them to do, and they would be his subjects. How comfortable would you be if Stephen Harper was our king and you were his subject? That's what they were dealing with. That's the context of Jesus' words. So when Jesus looks for an analogy, he looks for a way of communicating who God is and what authority God exercises over them. He chooses the highest authority figure known to human beings at that time. Dear friends, I want to encourage you. I want to remind you tonight that God's kingdom takes up a lot more space than that. Amen? It includes all of creation. I want you to think through some of this with me. God rules over the entire cosmos. He created this planet, and people used to think that the earth was the center of the universe. Today we know that's not the case, but we are a part of it. It is in a galaxy filled with hundreds of millions of stars, just like this one. We're just one galaxy amongst millions that have been discovered, and many that have not yet. Think about the vastness of God's kingdom. God reigns over all of it. You say, Brad, I know that. Do we really? Do we really think about that? Do we really reflect on that? Do we really live as though that is the case? And God chose to create not only life, but your life. The life of people around you that you care for. Creatures who are able to think, to reason, to love, and to hate, and a whole other host of emotions and experiences. And on top of all of that, the Bible says that He created us in His own image with the capacity to do great good. But He also gave us the choice to rebel against Him. If you've had kids, you know how this plays out. You love your kids with everything that's within you most days. Right? Hopefully our love doesn't change. Our liking of them does change, right? But they do tend to rebel against us. As much as within our power, we gave them life. We helped them give life to their bodies and to sustain their lives, to keep them protected, to keep them sheltered, to keep them warm, all things that they, at a younger age, they just have no idea. They take for granted, much like we take our God for granted in the vastness of the reign of His kingdom, and we are a part of that. What a risk it was for God to create us with the ability to turn our backs on Him. That is love, brothers and sisters. That is the powerful love of God in the kingdom of God. And here's the importance when it comes to the kingdom of God. God is king, whether you or I, you and I choose to be His subject or not. God is king. Depending on where you're at tonight in your journey, that either brings great comfort or you completely disagree with me. But as human beings, our deciding that we don't want to follow Him in no way diminishes the fact that God rules over everything. It just means that you live in rebellion to the King. I've done that myself. I've done that just this week, thinking I could do it my own way. Oh, I know God wants, you know, something from me. I know I'm a Christian, but I think I can do it a little better than God. That's the story of humankind, isn't it? And we're all part of it. A story of our rebellion against the King. And as we head into the Christmas season in the next few weeks, we're reminded that we can find the climax of the story of the kingdom of God, who as the ultimate and unmatched King of the cosmos, choosing to step into human skin and to walk amongst us. You know the story. I think every person wrestles with this as we head into Christmas season. I know every pastor does. How can we create a fresh new look? I honestly believe after all these years of preaching at Christmas, we don't need a fresh look. We just need a real look at Jesus. He came for us. You're going to hear the same messages. You're going to hear the same words. The reality is, do we believe it? Do we allow it to touch our hearts and our lives? And that's the beauty of the kingdom of God. How amazing it is that the God of the universe, who oversees everything, He said at some point, He said, I will walk among them in skin just like them, and I will love them with the ultimate love and offer them a way to come back to me. It's what every parent wants for their wayward kids, is it not? So then Jesus comes and walks among us here on earth. For 30 years, He's in Nazareth preparing. He's a carpenter. Then He comes preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, that God reigns and rules over everything. So His encouragement is to follow God. Live according to His principles. But not by the law, but by my life-changing love, Jesus exampled. But, and this is the crucial part to our understanding the kingdom of God, what did humanity do with Jesus? We know how Christmas is. We know that story. We also know the Easter story, don't we? We crowned Him king and we nailed Him to a cross. And you say, oh no, that was 2,000 years ago. The reality of Scripture is that my sin put Jesus on that cross. I have a tough time every Easter. I have a tough time every time I preach that because I know it's true. Deep in the deepest part of my soul, I know it's true. But I am so grateful for what happened before that, that He came in the first place. Because as these dear folks sang for us tonight, Jesus loves me. But remember, even nailing Him to a cross was part of the plan. As we looked at the cross, we could see for the first time the extent of our rebellion and the extent of Christ's love. And in His death and His resurrection, we realized that our hearts can be changed. The hardest heart that you can think of, maybe it's your own, can be changed by the overpowering love of Christ. Amen? That's all preamble. That's the background. That's the context for where we want to go tonight. The real stuff of the kingdom of God. Let's dive in and spend the last few moments together. We're simply going to point out to you, and if you're taking notes, you can take out a pen and paper and write this out. Three very simple points, three contexts in which Jesus uses the phrase, the kingdom of God. We're going to unpack the three contexts of this. And I encourage you, This is a little bit of a different message. This is not, you're going to get a nugget and take it home and you can look up in Scripture and say, well, that's exactly what it means. The context of the phrase kingdom of God is too big for two verses in Scripture. I would encourage you, even as you head into Christmas, by Christmas, if you could read through the Gospels, you will have a more interesting Christmas than you could possibly imagine. And I would encourage you to do that. See where the kingdom of God fits in. See where you fit into this story. Because the first context in which Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of God is the fact that the kingdom of God is a present reality. It is a present reality. I want to illustrate this, if I might, by a simple story that my wife and I went through a few years ago. You see, we love going to the mountains, and many of you know that Luann's a Montana girl, and the ranch that she grew up on is just about as pretty as she is. And we get to the mountains in Montana and Alberta every year if we can, and we did this a few years ago. We love camping and hiking, all that good stuff. So we had Caleb. Caleb's 10 now, but he was about 2 or 3 at the time, and just walking and just soaking up life. So he was ready to go on a few hikes with us and just enjoy the mountains as well. It was the first time he'd been there. So we took one day, and we were camped just outside of Jasper. And we thought, you know what, we'll splurge a little bit and pay some money and go up and ride the gondola up Whistler's Mountain. Just kind of a show of hands. How many of you have ever done the gondola over in Jasper there? Yeah, it's kind of okay. You get a good sense of what God's creation looks like at the top of that mountain, don't you? And that's what we did. We were standing up on the top of that ridge. And I remember this just like it was yesterday. Looking out over the town of Jasper and the mountains all around us. And just being overwhelmed by God's creation. It was a crisp, beautiful day. The sun was shining. There almost wasn't a cloud in the sky. And you could literally see 4 miles. And I began to think about the world below. I mean, all those people in the town, for example, they would be shopping or they may be making lunch, I thought, or be doing a myriad of things. I thought, you know, from the campground that we just came from, down at ground level, all those folks having fun just like we had been a few hours before, doing all the things that people on vacation are prone to do. But I thought, from down there at ground level, they couldn't see the grandeur that was all around them. You can only see so far, can't you? They simply couldn't see what Luann and Caleb and I were seeing in that moment up on the mountaintop some 7,500 feet above the ground. And this is the first sense of the kingdom of God. It's a perfect illustration that God rules and reigns over everything, whether you and I acknowledge it or not. I just happened to get to see it up there. Some of you have been up on the top of a mountain. You know what I'm talking about. You can look over and there's no pride in a human being because we didn't make any of that. You're very humble in that moment and you realize just how small you are, but also how amazing it is that your eyes can see that and God made that for you and I in that moment. God is the force behind all the smallest particles in the world and all of the vastness of space. God rules over everything. God is present everywhere. There is nowhere that God is not. Think about that this week. As you are going amongst your day, when that person on the white mud cuts you off and you're tempted to not be the Christian that you think you are. Not that that's happened to me in the last 4 hours. Right around 4:30, actually. We get off track. I get off track. But to be reminded that God is present and cares deeply, and the kingdom of God is a present reality. At this moment, God's kingdom is all around us, all around you in your life. No matter how you felt as you came in those doors tonight, the present reality of the kingdom of God is yours if you will react to that, if you'll think about that, if you'll allow God's presence to touch your life. It is as real as the chairs that you're sitting on. Believe me. And when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God in this first context, he is talking about living with the recognition that God reigns over everything right now, right here, in your present moment. And you and I need to wake up in the morning with this realization. We need to remind ourselves of this. Sometimes we have Bible devotionals and you go through Bible in a year or whatever it is that you do. There's some meaningful parts to that. But so often, all I do, I just have my Bible in front of me, and I simply pray this prayer. God, it's a lot of stuff here. Just show me and teach me. And I'll open it up, and sometimes it's the Old Testament, sometimes it's the New, sometimes it's a minor prophet that I can barely pronounce, or sometimes it's the New Testament Gospels, sometimes it's Paul's writings. And I just start to read. And so often, almost every single time, there is something that jumps out at me. And I've only been doing this the last couple of years. It's amazing to me how God's Word is alive. But the reality is that God reigns right here, right now. So expect Him to show up in your life. It's not always going to be to give you a blessing. It's not always going to be to give you good things. Maybe it's going to be for some correction that needs to happen in your life. But He's going to be present. Because as we know, God is our Father. And a good father gives good things to his kids. Gives them what they need, not what they think they need. Amen? Sometimes we get that backwards. We get so used to living in this world that we get blinders on and can think that this is all there is. That all the things that we can hear and see and smell and taste and touch. But there is so much more to the kingdom of God. To see that God reigns and that we are a part of his kingdom. And you either choose to recognize the truthfulness of that from Scripture and live accordingly, or you choose to live in rebellion, rejecting the truth. I wish there was a middle ground. I love the middle ground. I'm more comfortable in the middle ground. The reality is not that way. God loves us enough to not give us an out. He cares about us too much. First context, think of the kingdom of God as a present reality. The second context that Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God is the fact that the kingdom of God is also a vision for the future. It's a present reality, but it's also a vision for the future. We can have very wrong thinking in this area. As Christ followers, we dare not say none of the problems in the world really matter because it's all the kingdom of God and He's going to solve it in the end. There is some truth to that. But it's not the entire truth. And we can pull away and not do our part. We can sit on the sidelines when God wants to touch our lives and use us in ways that we could never imagine. Instead, it can be a solid reminder of the present reality of the kingdom of God that is meant to compel us and try to help this world look more like the world God intends it to be. Not from a prideful aspect, not from any of the abilities and skills that we have, but take for tonight for an example. Some of you are listening to great singers and you think, oh, I could never do that. You're right. You're not supposed to. Sing out here in a group. Sing in your shower. Sing alone in the car. You don't have to do what these guys are doing. I've had so many people come and tell me over the years, Brad, I couldn't do what you can do. Yeah, you're right. And I can't do what you can do. There's reasons for that. And it's tied with the kingdom of God. Do what is yours to do in the kingdom of God and you will never go wrong. And if you don't know what that is, spend time talking with mentors. Spend time talking with others. Spend time praying that through. And make very sure in your life that God will meet you where you are. We pray in the disciples' prayer the following words of Jesus. See if you know these words. Say them along with me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be on earth as it is in. In teaching us to pray this prayer, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, not only as a present reality, but as a vision of the future. But here's where we struggle. If the kingdom of God was fully realized on this earth right now, what would be different in our world? Would there be wars in so many different countries all over the planet today if God's reign was recognized everywhere? We know the answer. Would a man ever think it's okay to run up to a war memorial where a soldier stands watch and take his life and try to take the lives of others like happened here in Canada a few weeks ago? Would that happen if God's reign was recognized in all of humanity? Of course not. There's enough food on this planet to feed everyone, but estimates say that every day some 30,000 people die from malnutrition or starvation-related diseases. Would that happen if God's reign was recognized everywhere? How would we run our businesses? What would the world think of the body of Christ if God's reign truly transformed every single one of our lives, from pastors to leaders to families and everyone in between? Let's make it more personal. I'm not going to go around the room and share tonight, but as you're listening to this notion of the kingdom of God, and as you look at it through Scripture's eyes in the coming weeks, what would be the single most important thing in your life if God's reign was fully recognized in your life? What would matter most? Would there be a reshuffling of the deck? When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's not just talking about a present reality. He's talking about a perfected vision for the future. There are many in the world today that think negatively of the Christian faith. Just get used to that. It's going to be the way it is from now on. It's okay. It's a struggle. Some of us are going to be faced with things that we would never have dreamed of when we were kids, or our kids will, or our grandkids will. One of the most hope-filled phrases in all of Scripture is the phrase, "Be not afraid." The kingdom of God is much bigger, much more important, much more influential than we could ever imagine, because it's not an idea. Amen? It is in the person of Jesus Christ. It is in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is recognizing the reign of God the Father. And many of us in Christian faith tend to focus a lot more on heaven. We wait for heaven and we sit on the sidelines. And there is a time to do that. There is a time to recharge. But there's also a time to put the heavenly stuff in God's hands and say, what's in my present day? What is my present reality? And that's why the contrast of these two points are so tough for us. We try to see it as either or, and it's not. It's both of them, sometimes at the same time. When you read through the Gospels, it's compelling to see just how much Jesus cares about the lives of those around him and the daily things that confronted their worldviews, not just the disciples, but every person that Jesus encounters. That's why I encourage you, read through the Gospels. Slow down at the narrative parts that you think you know and you've gone over time and time again in your life. You will be amazed at what you see through the eyes of Jesus. When it comes to the vision of God, it is a vision for your life. It is what Christians are supposed to be about. You and I can get up in the morning and simply say this, God, how can you use me today? I guarantee you, if you are serious about that question with the Lord, he will give you an answer. But be ready. Be ready. Ask what, where, when, why, and how, God, are you needing to work in me and through me? Those are hard questions to ask of God. They're easy to preach on tonight, believe me. Much easier to say to you and to encourage you to do them than they are for me tomorrow morning to wake up and ask God these questions. But as I've been doing it, as I get older, as I see more things in my life, I can see the power of God's grace and the power of his love change lives, including my own. And I'm so grateful for that. But tonight's key thought is this. If you remember nothing else from tonight's talk, remember this. Just as it was then, Jesus wants us to live like the kingdom is present today. And he also wants us to live our lives contributing to the realization of the kingdom in the future. Does that make sense? Both of them are happening at the same time. Let's finish with the third context that Jesus is speaking about when it comes to the kingdom of God. This one is crucial for us to grapple with as well. And it's the kingdom of God is the climax of human history. I get very excited about this. As I've been reading through Scripture, not just Mark chapter 1, but the book of Revelation, one of my favorite chapters, a couple of verses in chapter 21. They come up quite often as I share the gospel with people that are going through grief. Here's what it says. Chapter 21, book of Revelation, starting in verse 3, about halfway through that verse. It says, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. Talking about the future. If you want some hope in your life, whether you're a Christian or you're just here tonight checking them out, you don't know anything about Jesus, listen to these words. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. Not might be, not could be, not possibly will be. He will be with them and be their God. Listen to this next verse. Some of you know these words very well. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Why? For the old order of things has passed away. We are in the old order of things that are going to pass away one day, guys. So hold on. I know that life can be hard. Some of you have stories, or you know people that have stories that would send chills down our spines all the way to our toes with grief and sorrow. And we want to have empathy, and we don't know how to do that in our culture. We don't know how to do that very well. But there is hope in those two verses. In the kingdom of God, just the thought of that promise of the kingdom of God coming in the future brings tears to my eyes and joy to my heart. What does it do for you? It's one of the incredible promises, out of many promises that we have as followers of Christ, that one day we'll be in that place, that one day our loved ones will be in that place that no one loved Jesus. Don't take my word for it. Don't take Pastor Kevin's word for it. Don't take anybody's word for it that's singing up here or behind this barrel. Seek it out for yourself. We don't have to answer for you. You don't have to answer for me. Do your business with God, because the climax of human history is coming, and it's no game. There is a game of life, but it's a board game. Each of you have been down the journey long enough to know that it's not a game. None of the things that I've shared with some of you tonight, if you've been a follower of Christ, none of this stuff is brand new for you. But as I've been searching Scripture, and as I've been contemplating this notion of the kingdom of God and how it plays out in real life, in my life, as I get up in the morning till the time I go to bed, and that stuff in between when I'm dreaming and getting rested up for the next journey and the next cycle. What does that mean in your present day? How do you apply this stuff? I'm not going to give you those answers tonight because I don't live your life. You do. You're responsible for your life. But to rest and to know that your future is looked after as a follower of Jesus Christ because of what was done on the cross, and his death and his resurrection changes everything for you and I. And those of us who have been Christians for any length of time, we sometimes rest on our laurels and we say, yeah, but I need some more knowledge, Pastor Brad, Pastor Kevin. I need to go deeper in the Word. Do you really? Yes, you do sometimes. Absolutely you do. Don't hear otherwise tonight. However, it is in the profound, it is in the simplistic, it is in the serious and sober moments of life when you first came to Christ, and when you've had those moments since then, being reminded of God's love, be it in a song lyric, be it in an event, be it in a message, be it in your personal time, be it a circumstance with someone else, and your life changed in that moment again, and you said, I get it. Lord, thank you for your love for me. It changes everything. There are people that walk in your journey, in your sphere of influence, that have no idea what that feels like. And they deserve to, don't they? They deserve to know what that feels like. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again tonight with even more conviction. I can't wait to be standing at the gates of heaven and be standing there and watching Kevin walk up towards God. And I want to hear God say to Kevin and Kathy, well done, my good and faithful servants. Doesn't make them special. They are special to us. We kind of care about them. Kathy more than Kevin, but yeah, I know you care about him, and that's good, dear. Think about those people in your life. There's people in your life who want to be standing at the gates of heaven and hear that said about you when you walk up to the gates of heaven. Is that what God's going to say to you? Scripture says there's one way to Jesus, one way to heaven, Accept him into your heart and life. If you've done that tonight, great. That's not the end. That's the start of the journey. Amen? And some of you, that happened a long time ago. That happened 35 years ago for me. And I will tell you tonight that Jesus is more real and alive to me than he ever was 35 years ago. And I'm so grateful for that. He is alive. Our relationship together has not always been great. It's been rocky, not because of anything Jesus has ever done, but because I wanted to rebel against him at times. And you know what? That never goes well. But we keep trying it because we're humans and we struggle. Bounce these ideas of the kingdom of God as a present reality, as a vision for the future, and as the climax for human history, your history, because your story is a part of God's story. Whether it's inside the body of Christ or outside is up to you. I only know what God wants for you. To be found in the love of Jesus, washed in the blood of Christ, forgiven, free. You're still going to struggle. If you come to Christ tonight or in the future, you're going to struggle. There's going to be times when you're going to feel far away from God or he feels far away from you. But never doubt God's love for you. The kingdom of God as a present reality tonight is filled with the love of God for you. For my brothers and sisters in Christ who know Jesus, be encouraged tonight. As you go out these doors, don't let your understanding of the kingdom of God just kind of go, okay, yeah, that was a nice message. It's not about the message tonight. What does the kingdom of God mean to you and what is your place in it? If you don't know that, find it. There is nothing more important. So the reality is, we know the ultimate destination. As someone has said, we know how the Bible ends. Christ wins. I'm so grateful for that. But because of what happened at the cross 2,000 years ago, you can have eternal hope. It's our hope and the place that we will be one day. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. The kingdom of God is good news. So let's go out there and live like it. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly God, precious Jesus, Holy Spirit, this topic is too big for any of us to tackle. But it is also very profound and very simple because it's not an idea. Lord God, we simply ask that you would show us and teach us. Teach us our place in the kingdom of God as individuals, as part of this church, as it plays out in our families, as it plays out in our workplaces, as it plays out in our relationships with friends and strangers, and all of the things that we are as human beings. Help us to understand with more clarity as we head into the Christmas season that the story of the baby Jesus is so much more than just a story. It is reality, and that you are a God to be worshipped, to be followed, and that you control our lives when we come to you, but you control it with such beauty and love and mystery. Father, help us to shed our humanness and see more of what you would have us see, both tonight as we leave this place, in the coming days, in our spheres of influence, O God. May the kingdom of God be something that we seek, that we recognize, that we look for. And Heavenly Father, if there are those in this room tonight who have never, ever given their hearts to the Lord, given their hearts to you. They know about you. They know about the story of Christmas. They know about the story of Easter. If that describes you tonight, you can simply come to Christ. Maybe you've been waiting for a long time and tonight's the prompting that you need from the Spirit of God. And he's saying, just come to me. I will sustain you. I will give you everything that you need in your life. I will be with you. I will walk with you so you will never be alone ever again. That's your desire. Ask him into your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, would you come into my heart and life? I don't even understand what all of that means, but I know that I need your forgiveness. I know that I need have a hole in my heart and my life that only you can fill. Would you come in and fill that hole in my life? I need your forgiveness. I need your love. If that's your prayer tonight, God has met you. And get ready to follow Christ. For those of us that have been following Christ for a lot of years, we sometimes feel we need more depth. And there is no more depth that can happen in our lives than understanding the kingdom of God and all that entails and what our place is in it. So, Father, would you show us? Would you teach us? Would you guide us and walk with us every step of the way as we head into this Christmas season in the next few weeks? Help us to be mindful that there is hope in this world and in our lives because of Jesus Christ. We are grateful for what you did for us, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's saints agreed and said, Amen. Amen. Amen.